All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Monday Night Raw, where we are going to close out our week on financial stability. This is Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. the Learning Center, and we all are thankful to have you all join us tonight. Make sure tonight that you are interactive with us on this call. That means not only taking notes and things, but when the opportunity presents itself, make sure that you chime in with your questions, your testimony, anything that you have that you would like to share with us tonight on financial stability. Simply press *5 and we will get you on the line. But before we do all of that, let's go ahead and welcome in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Candy.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I am too, sir.
Well, y'all know what time it is. It's Monday Night Raw, and I don't want to delay, so we're going to dive right into it. So this is the S&B Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. the Learning Center. So y'all know we have with us on tonight Mr. DJ, and we're going to keep it consistent. We're going to go with Miss Tiana again tonight so they can go ahead and divulge in some questions. So we get email questions, text questions if you have one. Okay, chime in, press *5. Let's get involved with this topic for this week. Financial stability. I hope that everybody has had the opportunity to learn something. If not, make sure you go back on Wednesday and re-listen to it. Go to SundayMorningBreakfast.org, O-R-G, and check those out. And then we have a whole list of other things going on there as well. Okay? So, Ms. Candy, you want to open us up in prayer, please?
Father God, we thank you for bringing us back together tonight to worship in your name. Lord, we thank you for everyone on the line tonight, for every word that you've given us throughout this topic on financial stability. And we thank you in advance, Lord, for the message that's going to go forward tonight, Lord. We pray over each and every person who speaks on this call tonight, Lord, that the words that come from their mouth line up with you, Lord, and that we're all able to receive exactly the message that you have for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. So with that being said, y'all, the call is on financial stability, okay, financial stability. And Ms. Candy, I'm just going to ask you to give us a very brief, you know, recap of this week.
Certainly, sir. With financial stability, we talked about a whole lot of different pointers as to what we can do, what we should do, and all of that. A few of those things were to make sure that we honor God as the source of our wealth. He gives us the ability to gain wealth, and we needed to make sure that we went ahead and got out of debt, because sometimes what's keeping us in this cycle of financial instability is that we have so many debts. Another pointer was to act your wage, and that was very, very important, because sometimes we have financial instability because we are living above our means and we're not really thinking about the things that God has placed before us. We're looking at what everyone else has. And then last night we talked about patience, prudence, and prayer, and those were three ways to help us to make sure that we stayed balanced with between our needs and our wants, because sometimes we get off track because we're so impulsive and we go out and get everything that we see that we want. But if we practice patience and make sure that we delay that gratification, use good judgment, and make sure we take it to God in prayer, those were three ways that we talked about to put us in position to be financially stable. So those were just a few of the points from this previous week.
All righty. So with that being said, y'all, we're about to get started and ready on this call. If you don't have a question, come up with a question, okay? Let's make this interesting. DJ says it's getting a little too easy for him to answer these questions. Now, I refuse to believe that DJ has mastered all these questions. Right now, Ms. Tiana over there, she's ready too. So, Ms. Candy, as we always do, we're going to go ahead and get the call started. This is a Sunday morning breakfast, Monday Night Raw. Mr. DJ, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, how you doing today?
Wonderful, just wonderful.
Okay. So how your finances looking, Mr. Trey?
Yeah, they looking.
Well, we're going to establish some financial stability.
That's right.
All right. Ms. Tiana, how are you?
I'm great, Mr. Carr. How are you this evening?
Doing wonderful. Now, I know y'all, Miss Tiana, she knows about all that stocking stuff, you know, that stock. I ain't talking about stockings. I'm talking about stock that be going on in New York City when they be running around everywhere. You know about that kind of stuff. Okay. So, how your finances looking, Miss Tiana?
They're doing all right, sir. They're doing all right.
All right. Okay. Y'all, financial stability. Now, that can go from one end of the spectrum to the other. Doesn't necessarily have to be. When you say finances according to God's riches and glory in heaven, I'm going to start with the first question right there. There we go. Start with you first, Miss Tiana.
Okay.
When the Bible, when it says according to God's riches and glory in heaven, what do we mean? What does God mean by that?
Well, he's definitely not talking about the moolah. He's not talking about money. God is talking about all the blessings that he has in store for us. Store that up in heaven. All the talents, all the gifts that he gives us, he's telling us to place it there because ultimately that's where we are supposed to be. The glory and riches that we are living for each and every day is founded in the seed of love, right? Founded in who he is. God is his word, God is love, and it is based there. And from there, all of the things in which we are seeking, which is our salvation, which Jesus, of course, died for, but that love that he bestows on us each and every day that we're seeking to give back to him and continue to receive, store that up there so that we can continue looking towards that in our direction to achieve that when our day comes.
Mm, okay. Mr. DJ, what about you? What does he mean by that?
Exactly what Ms. Tiana said. We cannot fathom the type treasures that are in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You think of the greatest treasure here, the greatest treasure here on earth, and it's worthless compared to the smallest thing in heaven. The things that we value here are way off. I mean, way, way off. They're pretty much replaceable. He's talking about those things that are priceless that were not created by man. Anything created by him, it never fails. It's everlasting to everlasting. If man made it, it's guaranteed to tear up at one point.
Okay. There you go. According to what it says, Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's strong. Okay. All right. We started off on the foot. All right. Here we go. Second email question. Miss Candy, what do you have?
The question is, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a member of a church. Am I required to pay tithes and offering?
Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you.
Can she repeat that one more time?
Certainly, sir. It says, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a member of a church. Am I required to pay tithes and offering?
Okay. Yes, first of all, yes, you are. You're not paying tithes to the church. You pay the tithes to God. That's God's money. It doesn't matter which branch ATM you go through. It's going to the same bank of God. If you owe him that tenth, you owe him that tenth. So you're not doing that for that one church. In that case, everybody would just go to the local church and everything would be all fine. So, yes, you are still required to do that because that's the tenth is what you owe him, not what you're giving him, what you owe. There's a difference between owing somebody and giving them some money. I'm going to give my child money next week to go on a trip. I don't owe her that money. I'm going to give that to her. So what I'm saying is, yes, you definitely still need to pay your tithe. The Bible says the tenth. And it doesn't always have to be money. Okay? If you call yourself a Christian, how do you know that? It's supposed to be within you. The church is within you.
So at some point, you have to fellowship somewhere. It doesn't have to be necessarily a physical building for a church. But, yes, you do owe God his money. You owe him his 10%.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about you, Ms. Tiana?
Well, I definitely align with Mr. DJ, because truly tithing is a measure of your obedience to God, right? And an offering is a measure of your generosity. So if you're a Christian, yeah, you are to continue tithing. You are to tithe every increase that you receive. You are to give to God first and foremost before you do anything else with what you have reaped. So an offering, that's your generosity. An offering in that generosity, whether it's your time, if it's your money, if it's your resources, if it's your gift, you have to be constantly being generous of those things. As God tells us that in Scripture, we are to owe no man nothing but to love them. We are to owe him the debt, which is our tithes, and we are to owe no man, there we go, love them, generosity, to give. That's one of the things that was called out this last week. How do we get on budget? We save, we invest, and we give. So, yes, as a Christian, you continue your tithing, you continue your offerings.
Ms. Carr?
Yes, ma'am.
I want to follow up because I know the person and where the question came from, and I can hear them say, that sounds good, but if I'm not a member of a body, who do I give the money to?
Financial stability. Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that's a question that we all need to really hone in and think about now. If you are not a member of a physical body church, who should you tie it to? Or should you tie it at all?
You can give money. Am I out of turn?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead, Mr. DJ.
You don't have to be a member of the physical body of that church. You are the body of Christ if you claim to be a Christian. Therefore, you can visit a church. You can be a visitor as well as pay your tithes at the church that you're visiting. If you do not like that church, if that's not your home church, guess what? There's another Sunday. You can visit another one. Either way it goes, you still have to pay God what you owe him.
You know what?
If I'm not comfortable with four walls at this church, then I need to seek until I find one. If my church is the SMB, then guess what? I'm going to make my tithe and donation to the SMB. That's my church. Then that's what I'm going to do. See, the way it works with tithe is you don't have to, God doesn't care where you drop your money off at. See, we're looking at it from an earthly standpoint. It's more so spiritual. Whatever you do, that's your church. If you're an alcoholic, your church is the bar. That's where you're going to pay. You don't care when you are drunk. You got your favorite watering hole, but you don't care where it is as long as you get your alcohol. If you're into pornography, you know what the church is. If you're smoking, you know what the church is. Whatever you're into, whatever you place before you, if it is out of whack or out of line with God, that's where your church is. So if you claim to be a Christian, which means you have God first, you know who Christ is, then you will seek and find a church. And wherever that is, that's where you pay your tithe.
Yeah, this is good. This is good. This is the difference between, we're talking about financial stability. This is the difference between knowing God and having a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know Luke 10, 25 through 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Y'all, in verse 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked by rivals. They stripped him of everything, his clothes. They beat on him, and then they went away. They left him half dead.
That's right.
first person to pass this man was a priest.
Mm.
You're going down the same road. Your evangelists, your apostles, your prayer warriors, you going down the same road. And when you saw the man, you immediately jumped on the other side of the road. And then a Levite, a good person in God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? They did the same thing. But a Samaritan, someone who wasn't even saying that I have an apostle title, I have an evangelical title, I have Christian associated with my name, pastor associated with my name, or I go to this, somebody who's in the world, good Samaritan, traveled, caught a man, and took care of everything. Bandaged his wound, pour some oil. Yeah, oil was expensive. Oil and wine, that was expensive back then. That's like you giving up your Rolex to take somebody's, bleeding sore. That's what that's like.
Right.
No. Gave up the Rolex, gave up the oil and the wine. And then he put the man on his donkey. In other words, you going to ride on a donkey while I walk beside it.
That's right.
Then brought him to the inn, the hotel. And took care of him. The next day he said that he was going to pay the man the hotel back, whatever fees he incurred. Financial stability. So here it is. A Samaritan says, I know God. I have a relationship with God. Although I'm a professor like you guys do, I'm going to do what is right because it's in me. But see, here goes the form of godliness but deny the power. We dare not give to a church because we don't trust the pastor. But see, that was a story of the man being beaten. What about people who are spiritually being beaten that you have the power to help take care of some things?
All right.
Typically, we don't take people out unless we're going to be the ones sitting across the table.
That's right.
I don't think y'all hear me.
Hmm.
In other words, you won't sow into that church with your tithes and offerings because what do I get from it? So now you understand with financial stability when God said in the last days that men will become lovers of themselves and their money and their money and their money and their money. They think it belongs to them. How you know you think somebody it belongs to them, Mr. Carr? Because they refuse to part ways with it. Because if it didn't belong to you, wouldn't you listen to the one who gave it to you?
Amen.
If it wasn't your money, let's rehearse this again. If it wasn't your money and it was God's money, see, we're hypocritical when we say it belongs to God. Yet, if the money belonged to you and you told somebody to do something with it, if you told your bank to transfer $100 and put it in this account and they said no, would you have a problem?
Yes.
I mean, that's your money, right? You deposited that money in that bank, right? So since God deposited, I know we're scratching our head now. Since God deposited that money into your life, who are you to tell him no?
All right.
Amen.
I'm talking to somebody. Because, see, this ain't church. See, church got to have a pastor. Church got to have bells and whistles. It's church. Cut that foolishness off. It's church. Huh? It is. Huh? But what that mean now? So since it's God's money, why you not doing what God tell you to do with it? Because if you are feeding somewhere, you're eating somewhere, and this is a lot of times when people back up financial stability, we back up because I'd rather not be a part of so I don't have to give my money. Show me free. If it's free, it's me. That's our mentality. This is why you get free in return. Nobody don't want to pay you nothing.
Yes.
But Mr. Carr, then somebody that told you financial stability. Girl, know your worth. Man, know your worth. How do you know your worth and you don't know their worth? Because the Bible I read when it comes to financial stability says, you know, you are worthy of your hire. Well, they ain't do a good job, did you? You can't work for God good. You think you can work for me good? Let me say that again. If you can't do God's work good, what makes you think you can work for a man? So you mean to tell me God is more important in your life than man, but yet you will break your back for man to make that dollar, but you won't work hard for God, who's important again? Who's the most important? Because who's the most important is who you work the hardest for.
My Lord.
I know I like these calls, Mr. DJ. Because this is Monday Night Raw, correct? Financial stability,
that's right.
Correct?
That's
so
right.
What happens is, even with that question, Miss Candy, a lot of people, and I know we, you know, we're not going to get a lot of participation on this matter, because typically we don't participate in something that we're guilty of.
Mm.
You see, let me tell y'all something. Shame is of the enemy. You have nothing to be ashamed of. See, you don't have to be ashamed of something when you have corrected it. You have decided in your mind that I'm no longer doing it, so I can talk about it. Yes, that used to be me. See, it becomes a testimony, but shame says that you're still involved in it. That's why you don't want to speak on it.
Mm.
All right.
Stepping on toes is real?
That's right.
Hmm?
And, Mr. Carr, how can you say that you believe in God, which requires faith, but you don't believe in his checks and balances system? If he's asking you only put in a tenth, how can you say that you believe in God, but you don't believe in that? I'm just wonder sometimes, how do the people feel? You touched on something that put a little light bulb in me. What if there was a church that you don't have to pay nothing? They don't take up no offering, no tithe, no nothing. You just go to the building and pray. I believe it probably would be packed. But those people are not going nowhere. I mean, nowhere. I mean, nowhere. That's basic. That's faith 101. I'm just saying that you just negated everything that you're supposed to be very well worshiping and serving the Lord for when you do that.
No, Mr. DJ, watch this. Let me help you out. Because the going consensus, that's my brother, y'all. We on the same team here. The going consensus is this. You know, God don't need no money. The word of God is free.
Mm.
Watch this.
Right.
Miss Candy, the word of God is free until you actually become a pastor. Then say that here. Let's see how free the word is. I'm talking about you don't have a 9-to-5.
Right.
You're working for God. Let's see how
that's
free
right.
that is.
Okay. Okay.
And yeah. Mr. Carr, with that, I've heard people say that too. The word of God is free. And then a friend of mine who's a pastor says, but the light bill is not.
That's right. And in Georgia Power shut it down. Georgia Power, East Florida shut you out for a penny. But Georgia
I'm
Power,
trying to tell
you. I don't know how they do it in Louisiana, but in Georgia, they shut you off. I don't care if you're a church. You can be a funeral home. You don't pay that bill. Ain't no power.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mr. DJ, it's called Intergy down here. Intergy.
Right.
E-R-G-Y. P is for I don't have no time for your plan.
Okay.
It ain't energy, it's Intergy. Yeah.
That's right.
So in other words, y'all, when we talk about financial stability, you know, anybody, come on, y'all, you love your family members, you love yourself so much, you would pay for whatever it takes for that surgery they have to have. Am I lying?
That's right.
If it's your child, I mean, y'all saw John Q. That man was so desperate, he had to make a move. I'm about to go ahead and do prison time, but my son got to live.
That's right.
Come on, y'all. Y'all don't think that's true? That's real. And that's called real love, right? So when we talk about financial stability, we'll do whatever it takes because I know that you can perform it. So if God is the one performing surgery on us, how then can we not take care of the house of the Lord? I'm just asking. I'm curious, people. Because you see them big old hospitals that you see? Now, how is it that we say we have more faith in God, yet the hospital bigger than the church?
All right.
I'm going to say this again because I think sometimes we get in a place where we're still playing. But see, the Bible says put away those childish ways. How is it that place, and we honor and respect the doctors, and we understand why they make their salary, but you don't understand why your pastor make their salary. You're frown on that. Because they ain't right. Do you know what that doctor did last night? Is your doctor a whoremonger? How many wives your doctor have?
Oh, but you're cool with that, right?
Right.
Because, see, your trust is in the doctor's hands, not...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord.
Come on.
Financial stability, right, people? So that means we trust in the almighty dollar as opposed to the almighty God, because our stability comes by way of God. And the finances, see, the Bible says the wages of sin. See, sin has wages. See, if you heard the topic, it says financial stability. Did y'all catch it now? Sin has wages. I ain't earned no check. Yes, you did. Uh-huh, I like this. See, we didn't think that far. See, now we start to get deep. We start to get deep in the word, people. Are you not tired of going to places where somebody's sugarcoating the word to you?
Mm.
You've been in the second grade in ministry for how long? I ain't talking about your application of knowing what's in the Bible. I'm talking about how you apply what you know. What sense? Would y'all not say that someone, if they have a rhetorical problem, something's going on. Mentally challenged,
yeah.
Financial stability, they can't handle their finances. How have you been in the Word of God thus long? Oh, mm. I was raised in the church. You was raised in the church, and you still... the same way you were back then. Your level of understanding, you can't balance God's finances. What's wrong? See, the finances is called love. The finances is called forgiveness. The finances is called obedience. Do you have financial stability?
Hmm.
Have you balanced your forgiveness, or do you give it to who you want to give it to and not who God tells you to give it to? Because remember, it's His money. Remember that.
That's right.
I can't forgive him, Mr. Carr. Whoa. Now, God told you to forgive him, and you're going to tell God, you're going to tell him what to do with his money? You see, forgiveness is expensive. Who wants to pay for it? Only Christians do. It's going to cost you something, everything that you have.
Come on.
So, people, are we still playing with God?
Hmm? Yeah.
Because, see, I don't mean I'll call in and listen. See, and see, this is the, I like to, can I talk about this real? I know this Monday Night Raw. We can be raw, right? Because, see, to talk about it, Mr. DJ, they said, look, he's just trying to push that for Sunday morning breakfast. As soon as you start talking about finances, people hang up. Boom, 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 boom. That's when they got to pay. But as soon as you start talking about finances for them, they all ears. How you can make more money. That's how people make money off going to on a seminar, tell you how you can make more money. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So hypocritical. Right? Well, I call in the Sunday morning breakfast. Now, here go the babies in Christ, Mr. DJ. They'll stop calling in because I heard what you said, so you must mean me that's not paying. So I ain't going to call in because I don't want you to think that I'm just listening and not paying. See, that's the immaturity. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I can talk about it. Well, I can talk about it. But the Bible says, owe no man nothing but to love him. And those that want to leave, let them leave. You wipe your hands and you dust your feet. Who will we cry about if we have God? So if they want to leave, see, the truth will either draw you or drive you. The truth, meaning God. Because if you're running from the truth here, you're going to meet it again somewhere. You're going to run from it there again. At what point you going to stop running?
Hmm.
Financial stability.
All right.
Mm-hmm. What's ironic, Mr. Carr, is on every piece of United States money, what words or sentence is on every piece of money that we have in this country? In God,
God we trust. Mm-hmm.
And it's a L-I-E.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Come on.
Huge L-I-E.
Hey, Mr. DJ, when it says that they are appealing to like-minded people, in other words, they are the who put that on that dollar is appealing to hypocritical people much like themselves. So the world understanding God we trust, and you can't tell me no different. In God we trust.
Right.
Hmm.
You trust in God so much, huh? Why don't he have his 10%? Why don't you freely give? I'm just curious. Because to trust something, to truly trust something, means that you will follow it financially as well. When you really believe in something, I don't think y'all hear me. When you really believe in something, Mr. DJ, I don't think they hear me. But when you believe in something, don't you put your money where your mouth is? So how much do you really believe in God? As a matter of fact, look back over your past 2 years and let's see how much you really believe in God. How much have you put your money where your I ain't found a good church house? I thought you were supposed to be the house of God. You still haven't found one?
Right.
I haven't found that good one. That's why I invest in myself. But see, here's the problem. Come on, y'all. Let's really get to it now. SMB Monday Night Raw, Miss Candy. Here's the problem. See, people get beside themselves, and that's nothing but the flesh. And we talk about financial stability. People are back down, right? And they'll say, I don't need the church. I can learn on my own. Well, you learning on your own is like your child, that 5-year-old, 6-, 7-, 8-year-old saying that I don't need to go to school, and you don't need to teach me. I'm going to learn it on my own. You know they're going to be crazy as all get out by the time they get to 12, right?
Okay.
So you saying I don't need nobody to tell me I know how to read my own Bible? Okay. You don't think God put leadership in place for a reason? Okay. It's going to cost you a little bit. It's going to cost you your time. See, that's financial stability. It's going to cost you some relationships. See, that's financial stability. It's going to cost you your desires. See, that is financial stability. Let's get to the next question, Ms. Candy. I didn't mean to stay there too long. Here we go. Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you. Was this rich young ruler financially stable?
Say that again? What?
Was the rich young ruler financially stable? The rich young ruler was the man who God said, go and give all your, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. Was he financially stable?
If you're doing what God tells you to do, yes. But if you are not doing that, and correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't.
You're absolutely correct.
So, I mean, he wasn't financially stable at all. That man said he worked hard for his earthly possessions. And see, again, we put value on the wrong thing. So, no, he wasn't financially stable at all. We collect a lot of things. And when you really sit down and think about it, it's kind of idiotic because you can't take it with you. You came here with nothing and you're leaving with nothing in terms of tangible things. So, you know, what are you collecting all this stuff for? I mean, you're utilizing it while you're here, which is fine. Most of the time it ends up getting in your way of your true purpose, which is to worship. You know, if God told you after you done worked for all these Mercedes you have and houses and money to give it all away, most of us would have a problem with that, or at least ask why. Who are we to question him? So, no, he wasn't financially stable.
Okay. Ms. Tiana, what about you?
Not a lick, not in God's eyes. In his eyes, he thought he was. But when it came down to it, when it was time to meet the father, no. It was like, move away from me. I never knew you. Because he wouldn't give as God called him to do so. To be financially stable, we have to do the things that was nicely listed for us this last week. Get on the budget, live our wage, get out of debt. But at the same time, save and invest in God. He tells us to give, then give. Give abundantly and give with a pure heart. Obviously, he was not, if he had even given anything that he had, it wouldn't have been in a pure heart because he was already like, no, this is all that I have. This is all that I have built upon, as if he did it himself. But we have to remember that all that we do have, all that we have received in abundance is because God has given it to us. So if we're not giving, this young ruler didn't give back as God called him to give. God gave it to him to give to somebody else. Everything that we receive from God is for somebody else. And if we're not willing to do that, then we are definitely unstable.
Okay. All right. All right, here we go, Mr.
Hold on.
Yeah, the phone dropped out of my hand. Somebody said their hand was itching. Y'all know when y'all say y'all hand itching, money coming. Who say that stuff? That ain't nothing but a rash. That ain't no money coming. Who said that?
Sir, we
Huh?
We did have a caller, but we've lost them. I'll let you know.
Okay, but who said that with the money itching? You better put some, what that stuff that is?
Calamine lotion?
Yeah. That calamine or something. Here we go. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Tiana, for this email question. It says, is it true the more money I give my tithes and offering, the more finances I receive in return? Hashtag financial stability.
It ain't nothing to do with one another. The more that you give, the more you receive. Nobody said it was going to be money. God gives in so many different ways, in ways that we can never even truly comprehend, because that's just who he is. He gives us what we need when we need it. And no one says that that's got anything to do with the dollar. So, no, you pay your offerings and you pay your tithes, you pay your offerings. No matter what offerings it is, God's going to give you what you need when you need it. Done.
Okay. Mr. DJ?
I totally agree. They have nothing to do with financial stability. It is true, the more you give, the more he gives unto you. And you can give more than just money. Give love. Give faith. Give respect. Give worship. I mean, there are several ways of giving, and you're going to need to live off those things other than money, too. It's going to come a time that ain't no amount of money going to be able to help you. You're going to have to keep living. Keep living. It's going to come a time you ain't spending no money. You need help. You need help and health. Health with prayer. You need strength. You have all the money in the world but can't walk. Can't even dress yourself. I'm just saying. So, yeah, I totally agree with Miss Tiana that, you know, that those are two separate things.
Okay. Well, these questions getting live. But they say we live, right, baby. Ms. Candace, did you call back in?
Yes, sir.
All right, what we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for tonight.
Hi, good evening. The question I have is, okay, if it states, it is my understanding that loans are like a line of credit and can also be a form of deception. Is it even possible to purchase a home without having to borrow money?
That's a good one. I'm going to start with you first, Mr. DJ.
Okay, the last part of that question was, is it possible to purchase a home without borrowing money?
Without having to borrow money, yes, sir.
Oh, yes. I'm a living witness. I've been found out that credit was a new form of slavery. Okay? We got things twisted with our culture. We buy whatever we want to, but we beg for what we need.
Ooh.
Let the latest rims come out, the newest car come out, the latest purse or heels or cologne. Oh, we go get it. I don't care if we ain't got no job. We still gonna get it. Some kind of way, we're gonna buy that. But let the lights get ready to get cut off. That's when we go big. Well, church, if I could just have a dollar each, mama, will you please help me? I'm just saying. So I decided to do a long time ago, I was deep with those credit cards. And I found out the more you pay off, the more they give you. I caught that era where it was new. And what they did was hit every college campus and give you credit. Here go credit. When I made a promise, when I finally got out of debt, that I'm not going to create any more debt anymore. So I own a townhome now. And what I did, I waited. I sure did. I waited 5 years and saved up my money. I don't owe nobody nothing. So, yes, it is very possible through faith and through God. Like I said, I'm a living witness. You can do that. Now, the size of your home, that's a different story. I don't have no mansion like Mr. Cardam, you know, Candy House. Woo, I can't afford that. But I got my nice town home, and I don't owe nobody with it. And you know, so, yes, it's possible.
Now, if 1,100 square foot mansion, I got a man. All right, good deal. Caller, did it help you out?
She is not there at the time, sir.
Okay, so we're going to say that helped her. I'm going to get to Miss T Tiana on this next email question. As a matter of fact, I'm going to open this up to everybody. I want some callers, and don't explain, just say yes or no, okay, to call in as well. Press star 5. Are money angels real?
You want me to answer that or you wait for folks to?
No, no, go ahead. You start first, Miss Tiana.
Before you do that, Miss Tiana. Right. I was about to say, can you break down those folks who don't know what those are? Can you please explain what you mean when you say money angels?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Right.
You don't know what the money angel is? You know, when people pray, you know, that God send them money angels to watch over their finances or give them finances.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Really?
Am I saying that right, Miss Candy?
That is correct.
Okay. So are they real, Miss Tiana?
Wow. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
No.
Mr. DJ?
Hey. Well, you know, I just got a banker a couple of years ago, so you talking about there's an angel that's supposed to watch my finances? Yeah, I've never heard of such a thing, me.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Miss Candy?
No, sir.
Okay. Anybody start fire?
Yes, sir. Receiving caller. Caller, are you there? We're going to go to our next caller. Good evening, caller.
Richard Bell. The earth is the Lord. Hello?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yes. I need your help on this. But the scripture says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and the cattle on a thousand hills or something like that. So everything belongs to God. So far as a financial, ain't don't know anything about that. But the word says apart from God, you can do nothing, and we are nothing apart from God. And everything, this creation and everything that's in it comes from God. So I don't know anything about a financial angel or anything like that, but everything comes from God.
I agree. So thank you so much.
So can you give me that scripture verbatimly how it goes? The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof.
Give me one.
And all that dwell in it.
You almost read it, huh?
Well, I'm driving, so.
Yeah, that comes from Psalm 24 and 1.
Okay.
Psalm 24 and 1. And it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
On King James Version, it actually says, let's see what the King James Version says. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that mm-hmm. dwell therein.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Psalm 24 and 1.
Okay. Well, I thank you, but I don't know anything about a financial angel. Everything comes from God.
That's
everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The air we breathe, all these material possessions that we like to possess, God doesn't mind us having money. He just don't want money to have us.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Now, let me keep that caller right there for a second. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because you know the other thing would say is somebody would say, well, the only reason why they say that, you know, everything belongs to God, and although it may be true, is that, you know, when people don't have money, that's how they talk.
Oh, I don't know about that, baby. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Financially blessed.
Come on.
And I have never seen, well, the Bible says he's never seen a seed begging for bread or however that scripture goes. But I'm very blessed. I work every day, but I know that it's God that allowed me to work, and God allowed me to not to have to borrow money to get the things that I need and a lot of the things that I want. I'm not broke by no means, and I thank God every day. Don't have to work no overtime to get my bills paid and to have extra. So I know it comes from God.
Right.
Not a broke person. And not dependent on another person, dependent solely upon God.
And in that order.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you for calling in, Ed.
You're welcome.
Good. And that's real, y'all. And that's what it is, y'all. You know, Because seriously, you got to talk to Satan like that. Satan, I don't need nothing you got to offer me. I'm blessed.
All right.
Financially stable. We blessed. Yeah, but you don't have this, and I don't need it. We blessed.
Mm-hmm.
If you got to buy somebody, y'all listen to this, financial stability. If you got to buy them, you don't need them. Okay? A money angel? Let me look at this from two different angles, people. No, no money angel. Why do we pray over finances when you are the steward? You are the money angel. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers because you never know when you're entertaining an angel. In other words, if you see yourself as Christian, you should be angelic. In other words, you are the angel over your own finances. What's the problem?
All right.
Why are you praying for one when you is he and he is you? In other words, we're saying, God, I need something else to come help me fix what I messed up because I can't handle it. So if you can't handle God's money that he gave you naturally, the green money, what makes you think you can handle his righteous money?
All right.
Is that too deep for some?
Mm-mm.
In other words, if you couldn't handle Mr. DJ being engaged, what makes you think you can handle being married? Who foolishly says, oh, they'll change when they get married? Who says that? Got to be people in the world. Got to be.
Yep.
You think God ever going to say, financial stability, they didn't handle it on earth, but when I get them to heaven, they'll be handling the good. Shoot, he said let it be done on earth as it's done in heaven. In other words, let's be real, Mr. DJ, financial stability. Even with men, when it comes to men, a man want a good woman who's good single, not when she's good, when she's in a relationship. In other words, you can't, y'all better listen to this, women.
Come on.
Listen to this. You know, the Bible says when a man finds a wife, in other words, stop looking for him. Listen to this. If you're good single, a good Christian man, he see it. Don't be trying to be good when you're in the relationship. That don't move me. I want to see who you're talking to, what you're doing when you're by yourself.
That's right.
That's right. Yes.
Huh? Financial stability. You do when you by yourself. All these plots of Satan, these lures and these tactics, you know, because you want that nice Gucci. You want them big old rims, player. You want this and that. People want so much now to where they would mess up their bodies. Get something or to be something that they're not. All these injections and stuff, right? Now, that's the physical body. People want finances so much now that they'll create the body so that they can get the money.
That's right.
Mm. Huh? Y'all think I'm lying? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't tell y'all. Started in a church house, not in the world, because you got a lot of people. Yeah, I don't think I want to really say that with everybody because some people are spiritually not mature enough to handle it, but I'm going to say it anyways. Financial stability. You got a lot of false prophets. In other words, they spirit man look good, but it's fake. Where's the power? Just like that man or woman who got them implants, it looked good, but they just wanted your money. So now they call themselves prophetess and apostles and stuff like that. Where is the doggone power? Why everything that they touch is ruined? Why when you say something is ailing, ain't no healing going on? Where's the power at? Oh, I'm sorry. Because, see, when that person who got them injections take their clothes off, the truth come out. When that person who, got the nice spiritual body, when the clothes come off, in other words, when you really need them to pray for you, there's no power. The truth come out then. They just wanted your money because you keep on coming to the church and, sounds good, I was moved today. You paying somebody. They got a fake body and you paying for it. Does that make sense to y'all? You know, like the girls, they go to the NBA games, they look good, and got all that fake stuff, and they sit courtside to get a big baller. You also have people spiritually. You're sitting courtside. That's why if you're not careful, they'll give you a front row seat because of what you pay. You ever notice that? You're going to sit on the front two rows. You ever notice that? Go ahead and write that check out. You see what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a big check. Let's see where they sit you.
Yep. VIP sit.
Financial stability. Mm-hmm. Are money angels real? Yeah, okay. Okay, let's move on. Real quickly. Okay, this is the next email question. Is it a sin to play the lottery or go to the casino? Mr. DJ.
When you are playing the lottery, first of all, the answer is yes. But we try to disguise it in many different ways. I don't know how the lottery is in Louisiana, but here in Georgia, all the money is supposed to go to education. You go to the casino, that ain't no education at all. But the lottery here, they try to mask it and say money goes to funding for pre-K scholarships and all that other kind of stuff. But a casino, there's no pre-K money coming there. You know, that money, but a simple answer is yes, and that's gambling. And you shouldn't be casting lots or any of that. You don't need to do that at all. So I'm just going to simply say yes.
Okay, Miss Tiana?
It definitely is. I know I used to be guilty of saying, well, I just take $20 to casino. It's like my night out, you know, movies, dinner. Yep. No, it's still gambling, and gambling is a sin. So, yeah, they're both sins. Both are gambling.
I agree with both of you, because when we gamble, much like Ms. Tiana just said and Mr. DJ alluded to earlier, gambling basically says that we're gambling. That means we're rolling the dice. That means I don't trust God enough to believe him.
Mm-hmm.
I need instant gratification.
Correct.
Yep.
That's what a gamble is, people. It's Russian roulette. It's a gamble. It's a take a chance. It's a risk. Why a risk when you have security?
All right.
See, heaven is not a gamble. That's a guarantee.
Right.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, Mr. Carr, when people are talking about sporting events, like football teams, you know, and you gambling or waging on them, you know, even when you should feel funny, some people will pray for the demise of the other team. It's a sport. Okay, so
yep.
You don't think those people for the other team know God, too?
Mm.
They pray before playing the matchup just like your team does. So you don't bother him. God doesn't get involved with your gambling. You can pray all day long for those 3-7s to come, or for you not to crap out, or for you to get blackjack 21. He doesn't get involved in none of that. Like you said, that's gambling.
But can a gambler, and this is not knocking nobody, people, so please don't take it that way, please. Because it's easy for people to point out other people's sin and not their own, correct? So that includes Mr.
Correct.
Carr. So don't think just because I don't gamble that I don't have sin that I have to deal with. All right? Because I don't want anyone to be offended. The word of God, we said this shouldn't be easily offended. So this is for everybody, okay, myself included. All right? Here's the deal. How are we as Christians when we fund gambling habits, whether it be the lottery or the casino?
Mm.
We're not being stewards of the money that God has gifted us.
You know what I'm saying? When we fund it, like your auntie, your uncle, your brother, sister, they go into the casino, you just tell them to go on down there to have a good time, and you fund it. I mean, I've been guilty of it. I'm not going to lie to y'all on this phone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you want people to have a good time, and you know, we reason and we say stuff like this, Mr. DJ. Well, at least they're there doing that, and they just want to have a good time, so I'm going to go ahead and give them $20, $30, $40, let them go have a good time. They're Christian, and are we helping them to establish financial stability?
No, we're not.
That's right. And Mr. Carr, we also gamble when we go carry ourselves down there amongst people who are not godly-like. When we go to places that we know good and well we ain't got no business, you know, but those are our friends. But we call ourselves Christian and holy and saved. You gambling then. You know you not need to be around certain people and certain things. You know, but we steady trying to be politically correct, financially, social, and all that good stuff. That's gambling then too.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Do we have any more callers, Miss Candy?
No, sir.
Okay. I have one big question. Now, I want the callers to get involved on this. Now, y'all didn't get involved on last one, but I need y'all to get involved now. I like the callers calling in that did get involved, but them other ones, come on now. What does the Bible mean in Ecclesiastes 10:19? In Ecclesiastes 10:19, it says a feast is made for laughter. Oh, wine. Oh, that wine makes life merry. Huh. And money is the answer for everything. Financial stability. What does God mean by money answers everything? Come on, Bible scholars. Star 5. Financial stability. Is that the cue for some people to chase it? Since it answers everything? What does that mean?
No, it's not. The devil answers everything too, Mr. Carr. That don't mean I'm gonna follow or listen to him.
That's right. Come on. Ms. Candy, what you got? What you think?
I always thought of it as kind of tongue in cheek. Not like literally money answers everything, but this is just like kind of a pretense. You know how Jesus told a lot of stories in parables, and I think that this is one of those ways where we are always talking about things in a worldly sense, so that was like a worldly answer, but not a serious one, like money actually answers all things.
Basically, it's like this, what she's saying, y'all. Mr. DJ, he's so witty. Mr. DJ, he wrote the Bible before the Bible came out.
Right.
It's not to be that part. Money answers all things. Listen what God, the context in which he was speaking, financial stability. God, he was speaking to people. You know how he gave them a king because they wanted a king? So since you guys, listen to what he says. He said a feast is made for laughter. Wine makes life merry. Look at the verse 2.
Yes.
Right.
Drunkards. Yes. Come on.
Well, since y'all want to be silly, let me give you something to be silly about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Since when is a feast made for laughter? Since when would God say wine makes life merry? Wine?
Drunkard. Yep. Come on.
Wouldn't that put you in a state of drunkenness and clamor? Come on, people.
Yep.
And money is the answer for everything. Since that's how you think and talk, let me get on your level.
Yes.
I'm just waiting on something, a reprint or something at the end of it just saying, psych!
Right. Time Jesus said psych, would have said psych, it'd have been right there, people.
Exactly.
Now, y'all can get mad, but you only get mad because you want to have a reason to chase it. If you're going to chase it, just be man and woman enough to chase it. You don't need a reason, do you? But for the real in Christ, we understand financial stability, money. I'm telling you, I done had people in God that'll quote that scripture and wrong as two left shoes. Because my next question to them, and this is how you put people, stifle people. Since money answers all things, when someone in your family has an ailment, why can't you just throw money at the doctor and it answers their sickness? I'm going to wait on that answer here.
Right.
Because money answers. Yeah, what you got, Mr. DJ?
Also, in the Bible, everything that's written in the Bible is not true. You don't have to. I'm saying, if you really read the story, there are several passages in the Bible that are meant for you to read, but not engulf. I mean, when Samson got ready to split the child, he said, "Put the baby right here. I'm gonna cut it in half." You know, when Joseph was getting ready to with the cult when they lied to him. I'm just saying that there's several lies, like people where people have told lies and other things have been lied. Well, you come back and find out that, no, that's not so. So I mean,
come on, let's go a step further. Abraham, who was his son? Anybody know Abraham's son? Anybody know Abraham's son? Come on. Who's Abraham? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I tell him not to go kill his son? He meant that. But here's the thing. He stopped it because of his obedience. God didn't allow him to do that.
That's right. Yeah. Even with Cain and Abel.
Y'all see it?
But, yeah, but it also, Mr. Carr, he's saying money answers all things. How can any Christian take that as truth when he clearly, the only thing he compares himself to is money and tells us to choose heed this day? If God answers all things, then how can money answer all things?
That is the answer of the night right there. The only thing that God compares, this girl has been learning, teaching, she's been studying something, Mr. DJ. The only thing that God compares himself to, read your whole Bible from front to back. Don't talk about, no, that's not true, Mr. Carr. Prove it. The only thing that God compares himself to is money. He don't even compare himself to Satan.
That's right.
He says you're going to love one and hate the other. He never say Satan. Satan already defeated. Uh-oh. That means money is something that we have to overcome. He said money answers everything. You know who money answers everything to? The person in the world. Because we know good and well God is the only one who answers everything.
That's right.
You know, when somebody say, well, go ahead. You know, since you want them, go ahead and have them. You know you don't really mean that. You know you don't mean that. Go ahead then, DJ. Since you're looking at a hog, go ahead and have her. Now, you know if DJ went over there, you're going to put him upside his head.
Yep.
That's right.
Y'all catch it yet?
You mentioned before the mature in Christ. Some people just got saved yesterday, and now they know everything. I mean, they done got a brand new Bible, and, you know, they just open it up and just, I don't see how. You know, I know your messages and sermons come from God, but some people just open up, put their finger there, and read one thing. You know, we're supposed to kill a calf, a lamb, and put the blood over the doorpost. Okay, but that was the Old Testament, brother. He arose. We're in the New Testament now. I'm just saying the mature knows, like what Tiana just said. You know, you got to read, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all, that's good. And even with the call, I'm telling you, listen to me, financial stability. The caller was asking about scripture. Man, this is good. I'm telling y'all. Let me show you with this caller now. That is powerful. Do you not understand? She didn't know the exact scripture. It don't matter you knowing the exact scripture, but she got something embedded in her heart that says, I understand. In other words, I would rather understand as opposed to be able to quote you scripture. See, we got it twisted. We think that financial stability has everything to do with our X's and O's and our commas and periods and zeros behind it. See, you got to understand God. You don't have to quote the scripture verbatim. Somebody done told you wrong. I would rather somebody who know how to love as opposed to know how to quote it.
Okay.
I don't think y'all heard me. I would prefer someone who knows how to love as opposed to know how to quote love. Just because you know how to quote it don't mean that you know how to enact it.
That's right.
Y'all follow me? We've gotten it wrong because we want to be rich in God, financially stable in God, and somebody has led us to believe that being financially stable, oh, I get it, Mr. Carr, says that I have the jargon down. This is why half of us don't want to pray in front of nobody because I don't sound like them. See, you're not financially stable because when you're financially stable, I can pull out my prayer and see my prayer says, our Father who art in heaven. You laugh as you want to, but watch the power move. You can laugh all you want to. That I stumble over words. I don't care that I don't sound articulate to you. What I do care about is how I know God got power and financial stability rides on my life. Is that, see, this is how you know God got power. Y'all, watch this. When God can change old sin for you, you know he got power. But if God has said to change you, stop professing in the God that you know ain't changed you yet. So why are you trying to change everybody else?
Yes.
That's right.
Huh? Didn't that's what the Bible says? Correct financial stability. Didn't God say that, Miss Kansas? Didn't he say the judgment of the Lord starts at the house of God? Since you are the house of God, why didn't change come with you first? Oh, I'm sorry. We don't want change to happen in us. We just want to see it in others. We want to talk about it. That means we don't have what it takes. See, I can't afford to be Christian. In other words, because I don't want to give up my regular lifestyle. It's too expensive. How is it too expensive? Because it costs me my identity. Well, that should be an expense you want to pay.
Yes.
That's right.
Are you going to talk about it? Or are you going to be about it? Financial stability, people. Mr. DJ, as always, we appreciate you. Miss Candy, we appreciate you. Miss Tiana, we appreciate, look, we appreciate all of you all for calling in and listening to us talk about God. Y'all know we can talk for days. But we appreciate you because you're giving a listening ear because, see, what happens is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We understand, thus says the Lord. Now, whether we like it or whether we don't like it, the fact of the matter is enforce all that you have learned and watch God move, even financially. And I ain't talking about your green dollars. I'm talking about your spiritual ones. Y'all follow me? And if you still miss that, the fruit of the Spirit, I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about peace, meekness. Hmm? Y'all see what I'm talking about? I'm talking about long-suffering.
Yeah.
You got a whole bunch of long-suffering in you. You are financially stable.
All right.
All right. Let's go ahead and pray, Mr. DJ.
Yes, bow your head. Father, as we come to the close of this call, dismiss us, Father, from this line, but never from your presence. Bless us, Father. Help us to stay on the path. Something said that may touch everybody under the sound of my voice and something manifested in that we can go out and witness to others and help bring them closer to you. Father, grant us traveling grace and mercy as we go about our daily lives, activities, and keep us financially balanced, Father. Help us to make the right decisions when it comes to our finances. And those economical finances as well as those spiritual ones, Father. We ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Have a great night. Catch us on Wednesday for Bible study. All right? Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.